Going Linux, episode 349, a review of Linux Mint 19. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, a review of Linux Mint. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Larry. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Doing well. How's your week gone so far?
Just a wonderful week. Good. Wanted to let you know that we've got an updated edition of the last book that I wrote.
Of course, that's been released.
Yes, of course. Well, it's the second edition of the using Ubuntu Mate and its applications. It's been updated for Ubuntu Mate 18.04 LTS. And since 18.04 is an LTS, I am hoping that I won't have to make any additional updates or revisions for a couple of years, at least. So this edition of the book will be an LTS as well, a long-term support book.
So if someone has gotten the book before, the old book still covers almost everything, but this one's just kind of the updated information. So you can still use either one, but if you want the latest and greatest, you get the second edition.
Right. Some of the most significant changes are the menu layouts, you know, the panel layouts that allow you to make it look like, Redmond's operating system or Cupertino's operating system, without, you know, saying the words Windows and Mac OS.
What are those operating systems that you speak of?
I don't know. But the panel layouts have changed significantly, and along with them, the menus. And so some of the step-by-step instructions I had in the previous version, which was based, you know, it was based on supporting 17.10. Some of those have changed. I've added a couple of new things in there that are new features, some better explanations or more lengthy explanations of some other things. So there's a bunch of new stuff in there, but both editions are still valid. Both editions are still available on Amazon. I've got the paperback version of the second edition up, but I don't have the ebook version up yet, but I'm working on that. That'll be available soon.
Cool. Well,
yeah, so I've been a little busy.
Just a little bit.
How about you?
Work's going really well. Just busy as usual. But the news that I wanted to share with you is OpenSUSE was sold for $2.5 billion with a B dollars.
Yeah.
OpenSUSE wasn't sold. SUSE was sold.
Yes.
But OpenSUSE is tied. So yeah. So yes, SUSE was sold. But OpenSUSE, and according to the company that bought them, or from Sweden, that they're not going to really change anything, so it should be business as usual.
Yeah. Yeah, for the open source OpenSUSE version of it. Yeah, so they've been sold a lot over the past few years, so I'm kind of interested to see what happens as a result of this. But my understanding is this is one of those investment kind of firms, silent partner kinds of things. So maybe there won't be too many changes. We'll see.
Probably not. Maybe they are. It might be a good thing. Might be more money. But I just want to know, if you sell Going Linux for $2.5 billion, do I get any of it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You can have a portion of it. I mean, you've contributed to this show.
Thanks. Right?
Yeah, I'll give you the same proportion as I'm giving you of the money we earn.
Wow!
In donations. Well, not the same dollar value, because that would be zero, but the same proportion.
Gee, thanks. I feel so much better now.
The 50%
right
comes to mind. Yes, there we go. Okay.
Well,
all right. So what have you been doing for the past couple of weeks, Bill? The title of this episode might be a hint, right?
Well, I've been running Linux Mint for over 2 weeks now.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to listen to the whole episode to find out what my opinions are. So,
all right.
That's a teaser. Now,
okay.
Another one piece of news that might be as old as the OpenSUSE is Google goes platinum in the Linux Foundation. That's $500,000 a year.
That is significant. Where were they before? They were like super platinum coated gold or something. I'm not familiar with the Linux Foundation levels. Silver, okay.
But you know who is also a platinum member?
Microsoft. Yeah, I knew that. Well, they're relying on Linux for a lot of their server-based stuff now. Yeah,
so
there you go.
So, yeah, I think Google finally said, wait a minute, Microsoft was platinum and we're silver and we use a lot of Linux. Okay, we'll be platinum here. We'll just give you some more money there. I mean, $500,000 or even $1 million to them is like couch money. We just found this in our couch here. Take that. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, they contribute a lot to the code base on Linux now that they're using it a lot to support the Microsoft systems. And mark my words, I see a Microsoft branded version of Linux in the future. I'm not going to say how far in the future, but I'm thinking they're heading that direction.
Say it's not so. Anyway, speaking of Microsoft, mini rant here, they're pissing me off. Okay. And I don't care if anybody loves Microsoft, I don't like them. They cost me several hours of work.
How's
this
that?
Past week. Well, not only did it decide to just reboot my system while I went to go make a sandwich,
uh-huh.
while I was working on a report for work that had to be in at a certain time.
Of course. Uh-huh.
It did save. I will say it did save it. That's fine. Part of it.
Uh-huh.
But then it sat there for like 45 minutes updating. And I'm like,
yes.
I got to get this in. I did get it in, barely. But it's like, this is crazy. And apparently it's my fault. Because, yes, Windows 10, now this does not, you can turn it off in Enterprise, but the laptop they gave me for some reason had Home on it. I guess they just because bad company. Anyway, we just write reports on them, so I can understand wanting to save a little money. Why do they need professional or enterprise? You know, because all you're doing is typing reports, and how hard can that be? I mean, you know, and so. On Home, you can't tell it not to auto-update because Microsoft is considering is going to that subscription model. And what they keep hearing them say is their OS as a service or software as a service. And so anytime you open up update, just see if there's any updates because we're required to check at least twice a week for any security updates. And if there is one, it just goes ahead and installs it. Not a problem. Without your permission. At the most inopportune times. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, installing it is not the problem. It's the fact that you have to restart the computer after you install it and wait for all the updates to be applied as it's restarting. That's the problem.
And since I live out in the middle of nowhere, my internet's not the fastest. So you can imagine my joy and happiness when I'm sitting there going, we're updating your system. Please do not turn it off. I'm like, son of a gun. And then have to. And now, son of a gun was not the words I was using.
I bet.
So this whole software as service, they push these updates out. You remember they're very good about making things difficult. Sometimes I don't want to apply an update right away.
Right.
Sometimes I want to wait and see if this update's got any problems. Like I can do on my Linux machine, I can say, I'll take that update, this update, and this update, and I'm click the descriptions and read them. Not everybody does, but I do. Okay, these are ones I want. But the update descriptions, if you do happen to get one from Microsoft, is system improvements. That doesn't tell me anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, and they don't have to because it's proprietary software.
Yes. Okay. So, rant done. I only have to use Microsoft for certain things. I can get away with some of the stuff on my Linux machine. I've got one game I can't get to run under Wine, and I got my company's software that won't run under Wine either. So don't believe me, I've tried. But it's so I have to keep them on my machine, and unfortunately. Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah, so let's go to happier topics.
Yes, happier topics. So, Larry, we're going to talk about today Linux Mint 19 Terra.
Okay, and
And
Terra is the code name for Linux Mint
Terra is the
19,
code name,
right?
which I happen to like a lot. I
Yeah.
think it's a good, because they always seem to name it like Sylvia or something like that. It's always cool. So, Terra, I thought it's a really a great name for it. So, a long time ago, I ran Linux Mint. I even donated to the project. I gave it a rest for a while, and when one of our listeners suggested a review, well, I thought, hey, it's time to reload the latest and the greatest and see what's changed. We had been recommending Linux Mint, and this was before Ubuntu Mate even come out.
Right.
We had been recommending Linux Mint in the past, so I wonder if it was still worthy of the recommend. And I wanted to see how it compared to Ubuntu Mate 18.04.
All
Okay.
right. Yeah.
So,
So let's dig into it a little bit, I guess, huh?
okay. So, yes, Larry, I did download the 64-bit version.
Good. Since you have a 64-bit machine and the 32-bit software you're trying to use didn't quite work all that well before, it's good you've used the 64-bit version.
Yes.
I'm proud of you, Bill.
Thank you.
Step one, read instructions.
Yeah, 64 is bigger than 32, 64 better. Okay, that's how I remember. So I want to add a little footnote here,
Okay.
just because people have known that my Alienware's a grumpy beast. So because of my Alienware and the ACPI, I had to edit the grub boot config. It's very straightforward, and I've included a link for anybody else that's having this problem, and it's in the show notes, and
Okay.
it's at Ask Ubuntu.
Oh, perfect.
And I heard that this is sometimes is useful for other Dell computers, but this one was written specific for Alienware. And anybody that says, "Oh, it's very hard to edit the grub menu," it's not. It's
Okay.
very straightforward. And this article walks you through it, and you can even cut and paste if you want. But I didn't. I read it and typed it in. So if you're having trouble getting your Ubuntu Mate, this applies that because Ubuntu Mate or Linux Mint to start. It's a temporary fix to get the system to boot. You can go into the I think it's the advanced boot options in the, when you. And then you can just, it's just one little line. You copy and paste it if you wanted to. Right in there, it's not real hard. And all it is basically ACPI equals, I believe it's no or
Off.
off. I can't
Off.
remember.
It's off.
Yes, off. So And then once you get in, now that's only a temporary fix. So once you
Okay.
get it installed, and you'll have to do it one more time, this temporary, to get the system to boot. Then all you have to do is follow directions in this article, and you're open up a couple simple terminal commands. It shows you where to put it. Straightforward. You'll save it, reboot, and voila, no more issues.
Okay, so the temporary fix gets you booted and you can run things, and then you
Yes.
make the change in the grub file itself, the grub
Yeah,
profile.
into the grub boot.
Yeah, so that then saves it so you don't have to enter that every time you reboot. So that's
Yeah,
great.
and
Good.
so yeah, it works really, really, really well as far as of getting it, and like I said, it's not super scary. I know people say it sounds like scary because you have to use a terminal, but it's really straightforward. And if you follow this, the Ask Ubuntu article, it's pretty much straightforward and easy to understand. Okay.
Beautiful. Well, that's
So,
good. That's good.
yes. So I was very happy to run across that article, and I think one of our listeners had actually suggested Ask Ubuntu for some of this. So that thank you whoever suggested that.
Yeah.
So
They
anyway,
have some really good forums over there, Ask Ubuntu,
they do. They do.
and a lot of good answers there that apply not just to Ubuntu but to other things as well. But it's a really good source of information. And like you said, Bill, we'll include that in the show notes. And that I remember using that ACPI equals off switch a number of years ago with some older hardware. I don't remember whether it was an HP laptop or a ThinkPad laptop, but I remember having to use that switch before. I don't remember all the details, but that's good that you found something that works for you.
All right, so with that footnote caveat inserted, let's talk about Linux Mint 19 the good.
Okay, yeah. So what are your impressions here about the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
First impressions, it's pretty.
That's a good
Okay,
start.
that's a good to start, but I'm not going to start there. I'm going to talk about things that you've run across when you first get this started. You're going to see the update center, it has been updated. That's kind of the update manager now selects all updates to install, and this includes updates to the kernel or the graphics stack. And what's kind of interesting is they've tied this into something we'll talk about in just a few minutes called time shift. And it's not the very first thing you do, but it does pop up, and Mint suggests that you set up regular backups so you can easily restore from a time before you apply a date or your system gets wonky. And it's pretty much seamless. It's professional quality. I mean, if you didn't know that this was a free operating system, you would swear that you had spent $100. And what's nice about Time Shift, it uses rsync. And see, rsync, there's other interfaces for rsync, but Time Shift, the user interface is really, really polished and easy to understand. There's no cryptic, so if you're a first time user, if you can use a Mac or a Windows machine, you're gonna feel right at home, because there's really everything's so simple. That's how good it is.
To be clear, though, just to make sure people understand what it is we're talking about. So there's the software called the Update Manager that manages your updates, as the name would suggest.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that it looks when you do your first updates to see if you have time shift defined, and time shift is their name for their backup software, right?
Yes.
So when you first start the update manager, it checks to see if you have backups scheduled, and if you don't, it's suggesting that you go and do that.
Yes, and it brings up the
Okay.
software for you.
Oh, nice. And that's a good thing that they're doing that. Not to get you off of tra off track here, but the Linux Mint that I remember, the update manager gave you the option of level one updates, level two updates, and I think it went to level five, and you could deselect
Is 1 to 3.
1 to 3. Okay, that's what it was. Yeah. So what does it still have that? Is there something changed in that?
The update manager is a lot cleaner now. You're able to select which ones you want. So it doesn't have the 1, 2, or 3 anymore.
Okay.
The update manager is very, very straightforward. It's very clean. It's like they took a page out of like a Mac's interface ideas. It's very, icons are very easy to read. The fonts are, they said they updated to make it easier to understand. But anyway, so it lists all the updates and the first time, and if you click on the update, it'll tell you, hey, this is what this does.
Right.
There was one for Firefox, and I didn't want to install it right away, so I went ahead and unchecked that box. I installed security updates for everything else, and I
Sure.
kind of waited. That's just me, how I do my updates. I like to see what it's actually doing. So after it gets those updates, it does something very, very cool. It says, "Would you like us to look for a faster update mirror for you?"
Okay, so the server that it's using to go get the updates is what
Yes.
it's talking about when it says mirror. Okay.
Yeah. So after you get the initial updates, I guess from the basically the Mint main, it says, "Would you like us to find a much faster mirror for you?"
Yeah.
And if you click yes, it will go out and it tests the connections. You tell it where you are, if you're in the United States or Great Britain or Germany or wherever. And it finds it and says, "Would you like to use this mirror?" And you say yes, and it changes it so you get all your updates from that mirror. Yeah, which I thought was a pretty forward thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, I think the last version of Mint that I used was 17.3, and it did something similar or did exactly the same thing on the mirrors. I remember that and thinking to myself, that's nice, because it'll find a mirror that's closer or a mirror that's faster. And if I remember correctly, you can go into the updater settings and set the mirror manually if you want to choose a different one, right?
Yes. So one of the first things it does is brings up update manager, checks for updates, says, "Let's find you a better mirror." And then it suggests, "Okay, let's get your backup set up." So it's just walking you through these steps, and it only takes a few minutes to get these steps up. And everything from start to finish was seamless. It was There's none of this crazy, you have to open this terminal or anything. I mean, it's all a nice graphical user interface.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so then, of course, the welcome screen pops up. And they redesigned it and made it a little nicer look. It's basically the software boutique that's in Mate, only it's you got different theming. It's the same idea.
Okay.
And if you go through, it says editor's picks. If you click that or suggested applications, a lot of these suggested ones bring up stuff you're looking for, so you don't have to search for them. Like, for instance, I wanted Audacity, I wanted VLC. VLC was installed by default, which was nice.
Yeah.
I changed a few applications and it was all right there. So it's like click, 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 boom, enter password, and it downloads it. And Harry's your uncle. I mean, it was installed just that simple. Now, not beating on Mate, I had a few issues, nothing game breaking, but I didn't have here with Mint, and I think it's not Mate's fault. I think it was a broken link, and one of them was Discord. It showed that Discord was in both of them, but when I tried to install Discord on Mate, it says file couldn't be found, but then it kept saying, "Would you like to install Discord?" So I think it was a broken link.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've installed, yeah, and to be clear, when you say Mate, you're talking about Ubuntu Mate because Linux Mint has a
Yes.
Mate version as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, when I've installed Discord, it's installed without any trouble. So Could be they just had a broken link at the time. So maybe it's not Ubuntu Mate's fault. Well, maybe it is, because they maintained that broken link. But there we go. Anyway, so you didn't have any problem. That's the key thing with Linux Mint.
Yeah,
that's great.
I didn't have any problem. Now, Ubuntu Mate and Linux Mint, comparing the getting applications, I would have to say they're pretty equal. There's no game break changers or breakers in that whole process, okay?
Okay.
So to be totally fair, besides having that new welcome screen, and it gives you some basic information and applications and helps you get started, they did something I really, really liked. They changed the icons that look better. They don't look like they're from the 90s anymore, which that's always been something that's bothered me on how crappy our stock icons work. I know you can change them. Yeah, I know that. But out of the box, we should have great icons, that look very modern. These, I sent you a screenshot of just the fresh install of Mint before I did anything to it, and you even noticed that the icons are very Mac-like. They're kind of flatter.
Yeah, they're quite nice. Yeah, if you like that kind of design,
but you
can
change
they're
it.
Very attractive. Yeah, it's good.
See, so this is not really it's nice that they did it and it had some better looking icons, but if I didn't like the icons, I could change them.
Right.
If I don't like the icons on Ubuntu Mate, I can change them. That's one of the nice benefits. So yes, they made some decisions that look really nice, but there's nothing there is something that you can't get on Ubuntu Mate or any other Linux. You can get them on Fedora, on stock Ubuntu. I mean, you can change your desktop to do anything you want. So it's nice, but it's not, oh wow, look how great it is. So that being said, Linux Mint 19 is supported until April 2023, but Ubuntu Mate is only supported to April 2021. And there's a reason behind that.
Okay.
The reason is Ubuntu Mate follows the release cycle of Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
So in 3 or 4 years, they'll introduce a new LTS, or another 2 years, I think. 2 years to release an LTS, and Ubuntu Mate will follow that release cycle. Linux Mint has been known to take the last LTS and it takes them a little bit longer to get everything set up. So they're going to be on the older code base. They update the applications, but they're not following the same lockstep as Ubuntu Mate. So I would have to say Ubuntu Mate has a better method in my book, because things change so rapidly. So the next release, long-term support release, will have a bunch of new stuff that maybe Linux Mint 19 isn't supporting. You know how quickly things move. So I have to give that attaboy to Ubuntu Mate for that. Okay. But neither one of these is a make or break. I just wondered, someone said, well, why is this one supported longer? Why is Mint support longer? Well, they're using the older code base.
Right.
But Ubuntu Mate will have already been on the next, by the time they release their next one, Ubuntu Mate will already be on the next code base. And so, as the way things go, I think that's probably a good thing. That's just me.
Yeah. So, bottom line, from an end user perspective, if you want a more up to date and update meaning more recent versions of software packages or more recent updates to the software, the Ubuntu Mate style of regular releases over a 2-year period with long-term support in versions every couple of years and interim releases in between is probably the way to go. And if you want more stability than the interim releases give you, you just stay on the LTSs. If you want something that's even more stable than that, you can go with Linux Mint, which maintains the LTS code base for its interim releases. And so that adds to the stability, but provides you the ability to get some updates in between the regular LTS kind of releases. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yes and no. I would say that Ubuntu Mate has the advantage in this. Not because Linux Mint 19 is bad, but here's my feelings on it. Ubuntu Mate has all these developers working on the next release now. There's a lot of eyes. It's not just one small core group. There is a small core group, but there's a lot of contributors. Linux Mint 19, in my opinion, that's their weak. The weak link in the chain is it's a small group of people modifying Ubuntu base for their distribution. And I'm not saying they don't have a lot of people helping them, but Ubuntu Mate has a lot more people looking at it. And not one small core group controls it. You don't have one developer like you do on that's considered the head that can make decisions, you know, things. I would have to say Ubuntu Mate, the way it's looked at, maintained, and developed is a stronger position than it is at Linux Mint 19, even though I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if I was going to be putting this on my, I don't want to be tied to one small developer group, like I don't want to be tied to one small company, Microsoft, Apple, whatever. More people the merrier. So I'd say Ubuntu Mate has the advantage and makes me more comfortable because then it's bigger governance. You know, they're governed by the Ubuntu councils and stuff. So that's just me. And you know, a lot of times this won't make a big difference to anybody, but it's something that needed to be mentioned. Is there's this governance style is a lot different.
Right. And there was a time in history when Ubuntu Mate was run like Linux Mint in that it was a small group of people. It was essentially Martin Wimpress and a small group of developers helping him to work on Ubuntu Mate. Now that Ubuntu Mate has actually become an official flavor of Ubuntu, that's where the additional governance comes in, the additional eyes, the additional support. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, in developing Ubuntu Mate, that small team is still involved. And, you know, the team has grown a little bit, but they must comply with the governance provided by Ubuntu. You know, they have to meet the requirements of any other Ubuntu flavor in order to continue to be considered an official Ubuntu flavor. So yeah, that's where that comes from. And not to take anything away from the Linux Mint team. I don't think either one of us is saying that. They're doing a phenomenal job. And, you know, the flexibility that it gives you not being tied to Ubuntu from a governance perspective lets you go and experiment and try new things that perhaps Ubuntu might not let you do.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right.
I'm just saying... Yeah, when we're doing a review, we need to bring up these type of things because some people might have some problems or might not be as comfortable. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm trying to be as objective as I can. This isn't going, you know, we always, whether we like it or not, we always say, you know, we try to be fair on our reviews. So,
right, and Ubuntu Mate has that 6-month release cycle and the LTS, and they have downloads for 32-bit and 64-bit and PowerPC, if you're still using architecture that uses that, and the Raspberry Pi, and Ubuntu Mate has Snap support out of the box. How does Mint compare in all of those? We've talked a little bit about the LTS versus interim releases, but how about the other things?
Mint only has an LTS. They don't do the 6 month releases. So if you wanted to see what was being released, you're pretty much, you know, out of luck. I mean, you'll have a completely stable system, hopefully. But if you wanted to see, hey, what's going on? You know, I just want to play with the latest interim release to see what they're going to be putting in the new LTS coming out. You can't do it. But, you know, you got to understand Mint goes for being very user-friendly. They don't do anything with servers. It's basically desktop-focused only.
Yeah, okay.
So let's talk about what's included in the system. And this should be pretty close to Ubuntu Mate. But for those geeks that kind of like to have the numbers, it uses Linux kernel 4.15.0. Linux Mint does support 32-bit and 64-bit. I've heard rumors that they're thinking about getting rid of the 32-bit.
And I think that's an Ubuntu decision that'll affect Ubuntu derivatives. Yeah.
So Mint does not support snaps out of the box.
Okay.
They support Flatpaks.
Ah, okay. So that's the route they've chosen to go.
Yes.
So how do if you want snaps, can you add it?
Yeah, it's sudo apt install snapped or snapd. And you've got it. Yeah, all you have to do is just load the library so you can use snaps. You can use snaps flatpaks, and you could use flatpaks on and snaps on Ubuntu Mate because they're both Ubuntu based.
Yes.
So it's just that was the route they wanted to go with. I really care. I mean, either one seems to work. I've used both. So I would say this is not a game changer. They both support the same thing. You might have to put one little command in to get it to support. Okay, that's really hard. So we're just going to move on.
Yeah.
The one I'm using, you know, they do have a Mate version of this, but I chose to go with Cinnamon because I like Cinnamon. They use Cinnamon 3.8.6, which is the latest one.
Okay.
And they talk about speed and stuff. It looks good. Everything looks nice. So it uses GTK 3.22. And, of course, you know, it had the Flatpak support. Okay. So there's all this information in there. So there was just the highlights of what it has for those of the ones a little geekiness. But, yeah, basically, I was looking at both of them, and Ubuntu Mate and Mint pretty much have the same, you know, kernel. Might be a slight point difference depending on where they are in the updates or whatever like that. But other than that, not much difference in the applications. But here's something I have noticed. And if this might not be fair to Mint, but I just wanted to bring it up, is that it feels a little slower than Ubuntu Mate. Running the same size partitions, the same swap space, I mean, everything's identical, right down to the drive, the RAM, everything, and application installed and running. Ubuntu Mate feels much, much, much faster. Linux Mint doesn't feel slow, but you see the difference when you you're loading like a browser. And Ubuntu Mate, it's pretty much instantaneous for me.
Right.
For Linux Mint, there's a delay of sometimes as much as 3 or 5 seconds, which I find weird. And the only thing I can attribute that to is just the way the display is, is displaying the information about. I don't know why there's such a speed difference. It's not unbearable, and once I think it's loaded into memory, it's very, very fast. Just so everybody knows, I made sure that I had the same version of NVIDIA drivers installed on both of them. Right, I mean, there's no difference in that. They're set at the same color depth, the same the resolution. So I just want to let them know that every I tried to for apples into apples. So if I had Dropbox installed and Discord installed, I had it on Linux Mint too, because I wanted to see what the performance was.
Sure. So let me ask this,
Sure.
in trying to compare apples and apples, I'm wondering if it was the Cinnamon desktop that might have been slowing it down. Did you try Linux Mint with Mate and see the same slowdown?
I have not,
Okay.
and I probably should have, but we both know that Mate's fast. But
Yeah,
now,
but in my experience, Cinnamon's been pretty fast too.
yeah,
So,
and yeah, and Cinnamon, and I don't know if it's just, I mean, it's fast. It's just not as, it doesn't feel as fast as Mate. It doesn't launch things quite as fast. I mean, we're talking things are set up exact same. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm harshing on Linux Mint, because I'm not. It's very, very usable. It's very, I mean, you're not going to sit there and wait forever. I mean, you might have a 2 or 3 second delay before the browser opens. Not a big deal for some people. But my concern was, I have a pretty powerful machine with a pretty beefy video card with the latest NVIDIA drivers. I think should be popping pretty quick. That's just my feelings. None of these are game breakers because most people don't, it won't bother them. It's just, I think one of the things we've always said is Linux is fast. And and if I have a pretty beefy system and you have a pretty beefy system and we're seeing these delays, what's a person that maybe is trying to repurpose an older laptop? You see where I'm going with this? But that's, I'm trying to keep everybody, in mind. And so if you have a very beefy system, current, within a year or whatever, I would say, yeah, great. Don't worry about any of this. But if you have an older system, I would suggest either going with the Ubuntu Mate, just because the desktop's lighter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Just to be fair,
Yeah.
when talking about Firefox, I've done some installation of Ubuntu Mate on some older systems recently, quite a bit, in fact. And I've noticed that, especially on the older systems, it's quite noticeable that the first time you launch Firefox after installing the new operating system, that it takes a lot longer to load than subsequent times. And it does seem to be more sluggish on starting up Firefox than it does something like Chrome. So yeah, it's probably a good application to test speed of launching against,
I did.
because the differences are noticeable. More noticeable with Firefox than maybe other applications. Yeah.
I actually did. I actually installed Chrome because I was like, why is it so slow? I mean, just so I installed Chrome, I installed Opera. I even installed just a Chromium version, and they all are within milliseconds of each other. So I don't. I was just surprised because of. And now this is not does not make it unusual. I'm just saying, you sometimes have to going, why is this thing not up already? It's just a browser.
I guess the point is it's noticeable,
Yes,
and
it's noticeable to me.
it's not intolerable, it's just noticeable.
Yeah, and just to finish, because I know our listeners will wonder, I was looking at memory usage, and I wanted to bring this point up when I was talking about this. The memory usage for Linux Mint running just average, having an average browsers with 2 or 3 tabs, Audacity running. I've got Update Manager because I never closed it. I'm running and stuff like that. Linux Mint runs for about 2.3 to 2.8 gigabytes of memory usage average. Okay. I also went back and looked at my notes, and this is pretty substantial in my book. Mate on the same system, same setup, give or take, a few hundred megabytes. It was about 1.6 to 2.1, which is kind of considerable, especially if you're running on a low resource machine. So just not a game changer, because but I wanted people to be aware that I've noticed in just my observations, and these are not scientific, that the memory usage seems to be a little higher on Linux Mint, and I just under the cinnamon. I don't know what it is under Mate. I should probably check that out, and I can always just post in the forums and let you know what I found. But just wanted to kind of let you know about that, because I want everybody to have as much information as I can. Okay.
Good. Yeah, that would be helpful to do a quick comparison and post it onto the Google
The
Plus
forums.
forums. And yeah, so final verdict, what do you think?
Both are excellent distributions, but Larry, they really stepped up their game, and I told you I would give you my first impressions, and so here it is. It was stunning to look at, and it works well. I think this is a real winner. The reworked icons are nice. The backgrounds they include are some of the best I've seen. I'm also impressed with the fit and finish of Linux Mint, and there were zero deal breakers. So, my final verdict, based on 5 stars, and the drum roll please, is 4.8. And it's very
That's
solid
good.
and well polished. Now, that being said, you might be saying, well, which one do you want to go with? And this is going to surprise you. I only unloaded this to review it, and I've run it for 2 weeks, gave it a fair shot. But I prefer, for certain things, Ubuntu Mate. So, would I recommend Linux Mint to people? Absolutely. Would I recommend Ubuntu Mate? Absolutely. You can't go wrong with either one of them, and you kind of have to pick which one you like better. But I look at it a few different things, just about how it's managed, the philosophy behind it, the developers, how often it's released, what's their, how they treat developers, etc., etc. And in my opinion, Ubuntu Mate is better for me, but might not be better for everybody. But that being said, could I recommend Linux Mint with a clear conscience and expect someone to have a good experience? Or actually, I'll say an excellent experience? Yes, I would.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Well, yeah, I'll have to give it another try and see how it looks. I'm pretty invested into Ubuntu Mate at this
Ubuntu
point,
Mate.
and yeah, but yeah, I might give it a try on a second machine and see how it goes, or a virtual machine, and
Yeah. So let me ask you a
see what's
question.
new. Yeah.
May I ask, now that you've heard my praises and my concerns and my information, what would you rate without looking at it? If I gave you all this information, would you consider using this?
I would consider using it. I think your review gives a very positive feeling of Linux Mint. I
Yes.
have taken a look at their release notes for Linux Mint Cinnamon and gone through some of the updates that they have, and having looked at the screenshots that you've provided, as well as the ones that are on the on the website, I think this is between Ubuntu Mate and Linux Mint current versions. It's very tough to recommend one over the other. I think if it's someone who has an older computer, I'm still going to recommend Ubuntu Mate because of the speed difference that you mentioned. And the older the computer, the more significant the performance will be. Yeah. So, but I think that, like you said, with a clear conscience, could I recommend Linux Mint 19? Absolutely. I think so.
Okay.
And I'll give it a try and see where we go from here.
Okay. So we haven't done one of these software picks in a while. And I wanted to give one, and it's available in repositories. It's Clam Antivirus. But to make this easy to use, you want to also install Clam TK. And that basically is a front end for Clam Antivirus, because Clam Antivirus usually is just command line. But
yeah.
The Clam TK is a nice, very friendly user graphical interface, and it makes it super easy to use. So that's my software recommendation.
Okay, well, and I don't have a software recommendation, but bonus tip. We know that Linux is more secure, and that's one of the things we like about it, of course. But remember, you have to do your part to be very careful about installing programs from the web. And we've talked about this over and over again on the podcast. The safest way to get your software is from the official repositories, whether that's the Mint repositories for Linux Mint or the Ubuntu and Ubuntu Mate repositories for Ubuntu Mate. Stick with the repositories. Be careful and be selective about getting software from third parties. Even the Snap applications and the Flatpak applications, they can be considered third party because they're not given the same scrutiny as the packages that are in the repositories. Now, yes, okay, the Flatpaks and the Snap packages are oftentimes a little more up to date, and that's really the purpose of providing those, especially with the focus on long-term support releases. But be careful with them as well. So another FYI, be selective on your browser extensions, because they can do some nasty things as well. They are third-party applications that run in your browser. They are third-party applications that run in your browser as extensions, and they are programs, and they can do nasty things, like I said, and they can steal your personal data, compromise your system. So whether you're using ClamAV or whether you're not using any sort of antivirus on Linux, just be careful. That's really the best practice overall. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that's very good. I mean, you could have the most secure Linux system, but if you have that nasty little thing running in the, as a browser extension to find the best coupon deal, and it's, by the way, stealing all your browser history and stuff, there's not much you can, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly. And those browser extensions are cross-platform, so they'll attack equally anybody, whether you're running Linux, Mac, Windows, or something else.
So just be aware of what you put in there, and I think, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yep. Okay, I think that is enough to wrap us up here, Bill. What do you think?
I think so. I think they've heard enough of me droning on for a while. So what's our next episode?
Yeah, you're a Linux Mint fanboy now. Okay, our next episode okay, you're going to stick with Ubuntu Mate.
I told you, as soon as this is over, I'm going to go back, but I wanted to run it for over 2 weeks to give it a fair shot.
Mm-hmm,
so I would say I like it. I wouldn't say I'm a fanboy.
Okay. I hear Bear waiting for us to wrap this up, so our next episode will be listener feedback. Until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We are the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining discussion in our Going Linux Podcast Google Plus community.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.